drowns me at the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm Katie Nordgren.
I'm Chris Jeppa, and with us today is a very special treat. We've got a generic straight white guy from the suburbs. It's Matt.
How's it going?
Hi, Matt.
How are you guys?
We were probably the only straight white male we've had on this who isn't a comedian.
It's a, I'm just some token representation. You know?
Fantastic.
We've got to try to diversify our guest list,
this
really.
Is, you know, it's you got an equity mandate here. You got to include me.
It's person kind, actually.
It's person
kind.
Oh, my
God.
It's person kind.
How about that prime minister, everybody?
He's so woke.
He's such a woke bae.
He is definitely. He's a good-looking guy, though. You got to admit. He's got that going for him compared to the last guy. And most of the guys before.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks a lot like the other, that French guy. You remember? The one that we had, like, in the 80s, 70s? Do you remember him? Kind of looks like him. I don't know why. There's, like, a lot of
similarities. That guy with the... He's got, like, a T last name, too. It's weird.
Well, yeah.
They've also...
Not as funny as it was in my head. Sorry. It's his dad, everybody.
The French also got a good-looking president. I've seen lots of people shipping our prime minister with the French president.
Oh, God, they're going to write country slash.
And before, when Obama was still around, there was like a thruple kind of thing happening, which would be like...
OT3.
Yeah.
God. Well, we've seen the prime minister jogging with the Mexican president, and they're
pretty sexy.
Okay. Trump's not with them, but just...
no wonder.
It's kind of the odd man out there.
How come no one invited Grandpa to the party? Oh, we thought he would be racist and volatile.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So Grandpa's not allowed to the country's dinner at the UN. God.
Oh, God.
The world.
I've been watching the Olympics, so now I'm just thinking about international relations again. You know how it goes. They're all, if only all of our, like, diplomatic things could be solved with ice dancing.
That is true. Yes. Oh, the Olympics, they started, eh? Uh-huh. They're on now.
They're happening. That was a big surprise to me.
Yeah.
Did not hear anything about it.
No one really thinks about the Winter Olympics, though.
But the last couple of years have been pretty big. Ice skating.
I love ice skating.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that before.
Oh, really?
Maybe 4 years ago.
I mean, the Winter Olympics, it's the Olympics for all the sports that, for many things that aren't, you know, even really sports. Like, I don't know what else they'll play.
Biathlon.
Like, ping pong. Maybe,
I don't think they do ping... I think ping pong's a summer Olympics.
Yeah.
That made it to summer.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I think
incredible.
So.
Good
yeah.
for ping pong.
I heard yoga's going in. I don't know how...
Yoga
oh, no.
Would...
How the hell do they adjudicate that?
No. Bendiest.
Yeah, bendiest.
It's just the, Oh, man, she is athlete. Killing that child's pose. That would be me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gold medal in Shavasana, just, like, lying on the ground forever.
She slept for 36 hours. She's the best at Shavasana.
I don't think you're supposed to sleep during that. You're just supposed to, like, meditate.
I'm not going for the golden yoga then, I guess. Turns out I'm bad at it.
Yeah. Oh, we usually start with a how is your week kind of thing, and that kind of segues into how my week was, if I can just retell. I
hey,
said
Chris.
It like I was setting you up to do something, and then I just took it right back.
How about I throw that out for you, a little bone? Hey, Chris, how was your week?
Oh, it was great. So I started doing yoga at this, like, hot yoga studio across the street. And they also have fitness classes, so I've started doing these, like, weights, fitnessy class things. And the one for legs is, it's called Absolutely, so you do your abs, Absolutely Burning Butts. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like a good thing at all. It just seems more like a diet.
You're just a hunk of burning butts.
Yeah. But I can attest that my butt was burning pretty bad after.
I was butt day today at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
We're fitness people now. You're like,
I need to work on my fitness.
Okay.
I have not been in quite a while.
I hit a deadlift personal record today. I deadlifted 55 kilograms, which is 121 pounds, which is not really all that much, but I had a really bad back last summer, and this is me getting back on track.
Nice.
So, back on track.
Today. Oh, good. Very good. We're so healthy, we're drinking
beer
at 2 o'clock.
That's fine, on a Monday.
It's a holiday.
It's not a big deal.
Family
yeah.
day.
It know, is family day.
It's family day, why not have a beer?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing this fine selection from Suburban Breweries.
Yeah, well, you know, we're starting to change our image here with our brewery after brewery seems to be opening in the Tri-Cities. People actually want to come visit us now.
Now, what are the cities that are Tri?
What are the Tri? There's
What's
actually
the Tri in cities. Well, I know there's Burr Quitlam.
No.
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 Wrong. No, you've got...
This is very regional.
You have Port Coquitlam.
I do have those.
And Port Moody. And then you can maybe put Anmore and Belcarra in there.
So there's really five
in the Tri-Cities.
What's Anmore?
What are they? They're villages, aren't they?
They're villages.
Are
Belcarra?
They unincorporated or incorporated?
That's a good question.
So regional.
Municipal politics.
Yeah. Belcarra's like 600 people where rich people have their vacation homes on the water. Anmore... people actually live that want to get away from society and live in the environment, I think.
Oh, on their, lots like, of gates 50 with keep-out signs acre. And stuff?
There's a lot of that, and people have just been there forever. There are a spate of mansions opening up there.
Do they have, like, eco-villages there? Because I know there's one in...
Weimar. Not Weimar. What's the fucking place near Chilliwack that has the eco-village?
Oh, I was trying to think of it. Yarrow.
Yeah,
my friend lives there. She lives in the eco-village.
What's an eco-village?
I'm not totally clear. I'd love to get her on the podcast sometime because we actually used to work together at Winners like 12 years ago in the customer service desk, and now she has 5 kids and lives in an eco-village, which is wild.
It takes an eco-village.
Is
that so? They're it sounds almost like they need the 5 kids to be like to farming the land. And...
well, yeah, they're really fun to follow on Instagram because they're twee without being obnoxious about it. It's like a very imperfectly perfect kind of life. Like they're not agonizing over setting up a perfect photo or something like that. Like they're a very roustaboutish family. Like everybody is very much an individual and it's all the personalities trying to mesh together. So it's kind of beautiful to see. I really love Annika. So that's my friend who lives there. And she has her oldest kid is 19 or 20. He was 5 or so when I first met him. And now he's a human adult.
Wow. That's
and there are 4
terrifying.
Other babies that
How
came
does
from
that
her.
Work?
It's disgusting. Wow. I'm really upset about it. But they post the cutest Instagram pictures because it's like, oh, well, now we have a bunch of chickens. Oops, I fell and bought a bunch of chickens. So they got a big chicken coop and they have like special egg gathering aprons that the littlest girls wear and they get to help with like... they help with chores. I'm doing air quotes, but but yeah, the second youngest, Claire, I think she's 4, so she actually is capable of helping at this point. She's nice. Just like softly putting every egg into the little individual pockets in her apron.
It's pretty adorable.
It's pretty goddamn
were
cute.
Were you ever
guys.
A farm person or
oh,
are
no.
you
like, oh no.
No.
Where do you come from, Matt?
Yeah.
Where do you come from, Pod9 Matt?
I spent most of my life growing up in Poco.
Okay.
So
did they call Port Moody Pomo? Is that a thing?
I don't know if they do, because I've never lived in Port Moody.
I think they're too into art there to make it.
They're too into art.
Okay.
Yeah, Poco's more like, because it's Poco's like the, it's like the south of the Tri-Cities. It's the working people.
Okay.
A little more conservative.
Port Moody's like the cool place.
Port Moody's the cool
it's
place.
It's the cool arty place.
Poco's the blue collar. I don't know. Coquitlam is just the bland middle. Of well, it's big, so it's there's the rich parts.
Those
and then
people are
some...
rich now because they bought things outside of Vancouver, and now they're worth like $1 million.
Now they are too, because we've got the older part, which used to be like mills and stuff, and you have all these tiny little homes on like 5 acres of land
that are now
worth like
I would love that
millions of dollars,
millions,
and the house is about to collapse.
There's I'm trying to remember the name of the area, but it's just you go further and further up the mountain, basically.
The Westwood Plateau.
That's it. I had to go to an appointment out there, not realizing that this was like I was seeing a dietitian who worked out of her house, and she did not make it clear that it was a house. So I'm like, I am so in the wrong place, and I don't know where I am, and there's no cell service out here.
There's no cell service? What a back one.
It is bad up there. Yeah, it's true.
Because you're like almost driving to space because you go up so high.
Two golf courses there.
Is that close to where that dog walker lady got lost?
It is exactly where the dog walker lady
was
lost.
Tell me what
that's like, there's no cell service out there. Yeah. That's why she got lost.
Yeah, if you go... because there's the golf course, and if you go past that, you're almost pretty much at the top. And if you keep going north of there, the cell service is, like, it's gone.
Did we talk about that dog lady on
no,
the podcast?
No, tell me about this. I don't know this story.
Oh, the whole city just shut down when she got lost. It was, no, I'm kidding.
She went out, like, she's a dog walker. She's, like, a very lively, retired woman, early 60s, late
local
50s.
Hero, local hero, community hero. Like.
She took these three dogs out. One was hers, 2 were her charges to, like, walk through the forest in that area. And I guess after about... it was 2 hours before sunset. It started getting dark before she thought it was going to, and then she could not get back out and did not have her phone. I think she like fell at some point and got a little bit hurt.
No.
And so she's like just trying to like huddle up with the dogs, and it took 3 days to find her.
Yeah. What?
She was in like I think she fell into like kind of a ravine and she couldn't get back up
That's really scary.
It's so scary.
And the dogs couldn't get out. She couldn't send one of them
dogs
running, like,
out, no.
Lassie.
Well, there was a 13-year-old pug that was there with her.
Oh,
and
I don't know how that survived.
Every one of them, each dog and the woman, all survived. No injuries, just like, well, some injuries, but not life-threatening ones. Mm-hmm. And just, like, dehydration and hunger.
Well, it was creepy because people thought, well, maybe did she fall and hit her head? But then no one could find the dogs. You'd think one of the dogs would maybe roam off
and someone
would see it in the street.
But she kept them all near her.
But she kept them all near, yeah. It was a happy ending.
Yeah. That's kind of freaky, though, to think, like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of woods up there, but there are.
Oh, it's a lot, right? Because it's almost like, if you look at Metro Vancouver, it's almost like that's the northernmost boundary there.
Yeah.
Everything north is just, like,
and you have to get
mountain.
Over the water to
you
get to...
You can't build on it. It's all just, like, steep and forest. And, yeah.
True enough.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've been to Anmore or Belcarra. I'm not sure I have.
You must have been to Belcarra.
Yeah, no, I probably have. There's like a park there, isn't there?
Yeah,
like a
there's some parks, park. Lakes people go to. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It's just, it's so funny because it's like, I guess it's like east of North Van.
I know,
on
it's
the other
like
side of the water.
Freaky,
like it's,
weird geography where it's like you can drive to Deep Cove and you can look across and it's Coquitlam and you're just like, how do those things go together?
It would be nice
together?
If they could just build like a little bridge.
Just a little one.
And
just a little one.
Commutes would be so much faster.
Yeah.
Just
or
a
zip line.
Or a zip line, yeah.
This is your solution to everything, Chris. We're going to build a zip line.
Build it. Build a zip line.
Just build a zip line. So we were just like all ripping around town just on a series of zip lines.
I mean, that would solve a lot of like carbon emission type things.
It'd be great for New West, but you couldn't get up the hill anywhere.
You need a gondola and then a zip line down.
Oh, that would be the right. Yeah. How do you get back up?
Yeah.
Oh, man. These are great plans, guys. Fuck the bus. We're just going to zip line and gondola.
Well, when we're all living in giant towers in the clouds, we'll be able to just zip line.
Yeah,
between
in between.
Yeah.
Like telephone.
Oh my god! Get a place in New West near me, and we'll set it up. Get like a basket of food. I'm sending you some cookies.
And then we'll never have to leave our homes or see each other in person ever again, and it would be perfect.
Let's put myself.
We're already like that.
Yeah, I know, right?
We're there. We don't need to see each other anymore.
It's cool. It's the reason we have this podcast is so we can see our friends once every now and again.
And so our friends can then listen to us.
Mm-hmm. And actually find out what we are doing in our lives. My friend Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Listens to this and then sometimes if we'll go out for dinner and it's like, oh yeah, let me tell you about these things. She's like, I already know about that. You mentioned it on the podcast. Like, okay.
No, I love it. It's really good. It's good for staying in touch with people and for people feeling really bad about not listening to it, which is so funny to me. They're like, I'm sorry, I haven't listened to it extensively. Like, dude.
Don't.
There's 100 of them. Like, there's 100 of them, and they're all over an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe now that I'm on, you're going to get this new audience of, like,
straight white bros. I fucking doubt it.
A bunch of just bros being bros listening to the podcast.
Yeah, because you're the quintessence of bro.
We are. I've got some very bro friends. I would consider myself the...
bro adjacent?
Bro. That's
tertiarily
how I... Tertiarily bro. Like, I just have, like, a toe in that culture and no...
You got a toe
no
in the bro.
You toe in the bro. You're 1/16th bro.
1/16th bro.
On your father's side.
On my father's side. Because it would come from my father's side, definitely.
Actually, my mom's a bro.
Yeah,
it's wild.
That's true.
My mom's definitely...
My mom's a huge bro.
No, I
walk it off, she'd say.
No, I definitely grew up all around sports bros, car bros.
I was wearing a sports bro earlier today. Oh, sports bro.
Pretty good.
Thanks.
But so, yeah, growing up in Port Coquitlam.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made your way to Coquitlam.
I'm getting to you guys. I'm getting close.
Getting pretty close. Hey, my birth certificate says I was born in New Westminster. Boy howdy, I'll die in New Westminster.
You know what? I was born in New West too, so.
Royal Columbia. What year?
92.
Oh, beat you by 7. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
just a baby. I didn't know.
Just a tiny little baby.
That's not nice. That's diminutive.
Yeah, it's got a real tough life.
We should just be nice to our guests and not make fun of them. It's like, this is supposed to be.
Yeah, you just come on and you're like, look at this baby here.
Yeah.
This infant baby.
You're an accomplished young man.
You were born in the year I finally started forming memories. I'd say. I remember 92 very well. Thank you very much.
Oh my
grade
goodness.
2, Miss Baker's class. Sorry.
Yeah, grade 2 was my worst class photo ever because I was wearing white tights and you could see just right up in the crotch. It was very bad.
Oh my god.
Very bad. And no one told a child to cross your legs in the front row.
Were you just manspreading?
Sure was. Oh, manspreading in the best way that a grade two kid can do.
That's amazing.
Oh boy.
I thought you were gonna say it was just like a terrible year for you. It's like, no, it's just a bad picture. I'm so sorry.
I mean, that's forever. The memories can be shaped by context and like
forgotten.
Can't you
just like put a scratch and sniff sticker on there or something like that to cover it up?
In my grade six class picture, I scribbled my own face out. So that's how that year went for me.
Oh, that's my grade eight yearbook. I've scribbled my face out in every picture.
I'm with you on grade eight. Oh, not a good yearbook.
No. I can picture your grade eight photo. I'm like doing a retroactive like forensic guess on what you would have looked like in grade eight.
Take your guess.
Like this, but so much skinnier somehow.
No, I had really long hair.
Ooh. Okay, perfect.
It was long because I was in my rock and roll phase.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, tons of acne, long hair.
The eyebrows that are so good.
Good eyebrows. And, yeah, probably skinny.
But I would just imagine like a...
Was your hair in your face a lot? Were you that kind of teen? Or
yeah, it was
like...
in my face because my hair just is so straight. It just... Just like that. This is all like an illusion that you're seeing here to make it look like this.
Yeah, he's very coiffed.
It's just...
Listener, he's very coiffed.
Very coiffed.
Very well put together.
It's just straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
But so, yeah.
I would have loved that look.
You were like a... But were you like a shy teen, like hiding behind stuff? Or were you more like... You said your rock and roll phase. What does that mean?
No, because we had rock school and I was in a band.
What? Yes. You had rock school?
Yeah, we had the coolest music teacher.
Oh my god.
We had... Our music teacher, Mr. Erickson, oh my god, he was the greatest. He ended up becoming our French teacher because our French teacher, I don't know, left. And we were we weren't the best class. We were very disruptive. And so our French teacher was gone. And one day we walked into French class and there he was wailing on his electric guitar.
Whoa.
Almost like out of a movie.
Hey kids, are you ready to rock?
And it was like that, exactly. And he just would talk about, we didn't learn any French, he didn't teach us any French, because he didn't know how to speak French. So he would just relay us stories of like the Seattle punk scene when he was in a band. And it was...
You kids like the Meat Puppets? Let me just tell you a little something about a man named Lane Staley.
Wow, best class ever.
It was best class ever. It was pretty awesome.
I pulled up my grade 8 photo, which I've shown people on the podcast before, but never you.
Nice.
Which is, I'm wearing a men's Tommy Hilfiger t-shirt that has been gnawed at by guinea pigs, and there's a shaved spot in my hairline because I have a cowlick on this part, and I would just shave it. So there's a bald spot at the crown, at the top of my head.
That's really sad.
Just look at how fucking chubby and round my face was in my braces.
Oh,
that's such a bad look.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I had much thicker hair when I was younger for some reason. Mm. Probably because I've ruined it.
Yeah.
The chemicals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, so did you ever wind up learning French?
Did I ever learn French?
No.
I could say, like, je m'appelle.
Okay,
that's a je m'appelle, and, yeah, that's about
Don't know how to finish off that sentence, though?
Je m'appelle Matt.
Okay, good yeah, job. Way to go.
I can throw my name in there. And that's about all I can remember from French. Merci.
Yep. That's pretty good.
Did you guys not have the bibliobus?
No, we didn't learn any French. And all the kids, we had some very troublesome kids in my class who I was friends with. And I hung out with a lot of delinquents as well. You know what? One thing was I could always kind of just hang out with anybody I was good at. And we had this one kid in our class who would go across the street to the grocery store every lunch and just ransack the place. Like he would steal whipping cream, fruits, snacks, and he was this.
He's getting fruit though.
He was this like a picture. He looked a little bit like Eric Cartman. That was his like. Imagine that. And he would so he'd fill
like
up his jacket, just
fella.
A rotund little fellow. And he would come back at lunch. You know, lunch is ending, and he would unzip his jacket and like he'd be like, "Oh, look at all the stuff I got, guys! You want anything?"
Oh my god!
And,
little black market.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, they would caught him because
it was across
the
street groceries. From the
it was
high
across
school
the street
every
from,
day.
From the school, and you know, they contacted the principal and found him, and they put him in a special class.
I don't know why, but I thought you were gonna say like an acrylic box, like in the dock, like a dangerous prisoner. It's just like, oh my god, they put him in solitary.
They put him in this special class, and he stopped stealing, so they rewarded him by taking him like swimming for a day. And he was laughing at all of us, and you guys are all suckers. You're all in math class. It's a beautiful day out. I'm going swimming, and like all because I stopped stealing.
That's a pretty good.
I
game
did something
the
bad
system.
And got rewarded
and he,
for not
and
doing
he got
it
rewarded
anymore.
For not doing it anymore.
Fuck, that's genius.
It was genius. Oh and he was. God. I was like, oh you're right. God. Like we are the suckers in this situation.
You want to go back in time and game the system yeah, now?
So. Of course I do. No one would ever suspect.
No one ever suspects the butterfly.
The worst thing that I ever stole in high school was lawn gnomes out of people's yards.
Oh my God.
And then we'd take them into art class and sand them down and repaint them and finish them and then give them back to the house and leave them on the doorstep with a note.
Wow.
And we were called the Lawn Gnome Preservation Society.
That's
we
hilarious.
Got in, we got in the yearbook as a club.
Did anyone ever, like, bust you and be like,
nope.
Freak out or nope. Everyone was happy?
Yeah.
No.
It's a pretty interesting community there. Like,
I grew up on the Sunshine Coast, so it was like on a like farm-ish area, and lots of cute little houses with little lawn gnomes. And so yeah, we'd sneak out at night and steal shit,
and then give it back.
That's
after
so wholesome.
It.
In like
it's,
better
it's
condition.
It's so wholesome. It's a fucking wholesome. It's like 60% like whole wheat bread. It's
yeah.
so it'd make a delicious peanut butter and jelly
yeah.
sandwich.
My mom was never worried about me as a kid. Even when I'd like go out with boys, it's like, oh, you're just gonna go do your little lawn gnome thing.
You're just gonna go do your little finger banging thing. It's fine. You can't get pregnant from finger banging. It's just assuming that's what your mom thought.
Oh my God. Don't bring my mother into this.
Hey, Joe.
Oh man. So you had, like, rock band music class, though?
Yeah.
That is,
awesome.
I'm so jealous. Like, we just had band. I played the flute.
Well, that's what made it, it was, because that's what we started with. And mm-hmm. I remember in elementary school, we'd play a little xylophone, mm-hmm. the flute. It was boring.
Recorder,
ukulele.
Right?
The xylophone, yeah. You always had to hold your hands like you were riding a bike. Did you have that? Or not recorder, xylophone, did I say that?
You did
person?
Say xylophone, yes.
Thought I said recorder. But I just remember Mrs. Ogilvy doing the demonstrations. It was
that's
like,
how you do your octaves.
Yeah. Ting. Ting, 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 or whatever, but she would get so mad at you if you started holding it like this. She would be furious.
It's not a fucking
like,
fork
to...
and knife, Katie. Respect the
okay,
xylophone.
Mrs. Ogilvy, like, whatever you say. She was mean. We didn't like her.
But it was boring. Like, I never liked playing that stuff, and it was, you know, so when we went to middle school, it was, we had rock band, and then people were getting to play guitar, bass guitar, drums. There was a Kiss cover band.
Oh, my
one
God.
One guys, the cool 8th graders had one, and...
The cool 8th graders had Kiss.
Cover and Kiss.
It was cool at the time.
What year was this?
You infant child.
Oh, five?
Okay. So
06? 05, 06, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm trying to remember, like, what was popular in the world at that time. That was when Mean Girls came out.
That's, like, that, like, 2004... to 9 is a bit of a black hole just for me in general.
For culture
know.
And so yeah, there's
I just
the
don't
Talladega
remember
Nights. The Ballad of Ricky Bobby came out during that time.
Yeah, the 2000. Maybe it's just we haven't had enough time to process it because yeah. You know, we think about, you know, 90s culture is kind of cool
yeah.
again, and people look at it. And I'm wondering about, like, how long is it until we're going to start looking back on the aughts and being like, oh, that was an awesome time. You know, the frosted tips, spike hair, genie bottle. Yeah, that's. That's what's
yeah.
going to be.
I mean, I still, I reminisce about the, like, raver stuff and all the, like, you know.
I like a shiny jacket.
Yeah, like, there is some, like, early, like, Y2K style coming
Y2K
back.
Y2K style is, ooh.
It's something.
It's...
All the little, like, pigtails and butterfly clips.
I've been following yeah. this Tumblr called the Y2K Preservation Society, so it's very funny and similar to your gnome thing, but it's just them... Like pulling old magazine spreads from 1999 to 2003,
oh, from, like,
give
sassy
or take.
And
yeah,
fucking teen beat
a little
shit.
Bit of sassy, but like a lot of like high end design stuff and like bars and stuff that were made for New York City that are now no longer in operation at all because they're such a product of their time, right? They don't have the timelessness. Like old pubs stay around forever, but anything that's like the zeitgeist is gone immediately. That's French for immediately. Because I did go to French class.
Shit.
I've got a fourth French word I can add to my repertoire.
Oh, I thought it was going to be les bitch. Just what I am. I'm a real tabernacker.
I believe that's putain.
Putain,
isn't it? Not that's poutine, but...
Putain.
So I think that...
Whore?
I think that's something like that, yeah.
Okay. Well, puta is Spanish for...
Yeah, it's a similar root word. The romance languages, everybody.
Probably all comes from, like, pudenda or something
probably,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Gross.
Gross. The worst word. Do you know what that means?
Well, for which word?
Pudenda.
I can probably guess.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yes. What were you saying?
Pudenda.
No! Fuck you.
Sorry. What was I saying about... Xylophones? No.
No, your Y2K magazine thing.
Oh, yeah, that was just all. It was just, like, getting to see those things again. I was like, oh, I did kind of like that aesthetic. Like, I've always liked metallics a lot, but it was the clear, plasticky.
Yes.
With such, like inflatable furniture was a really big thing for a while.
I wanted an inflatable couch so bad.
Yeah.
And a beanbag chair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just, like, really impractical furniture was stuff we wanted.
And I remember, like, I really wanted, because I had, like, a doll that had a plastic raincoat that was just, like, a clear plastic. And I'm like, it's so cool. And then you have your clear plastic bag and your clear plastic shoes. And it's just, like, so that everyone can see what's...
Yeah, which is great till you have to carry a dildo.
No privacy in that kind of tote at all.
None.
But it's like, what was that about? It's like, everything's on display.
Weird. It's a little, like, Blade Runner-ish. The, like, plastic raincoat and... that maybe it was like a kind of cyberpunk
right, because we're like, oh, it's like, Y2K and the computers are gonna fuck everything, and so now
it's future time, boys. I don't know why I said boys like that.
The new millennium.
Except we're in a different kind of dystopia than we imagined.
I know.
Yeah. So much different.
I saw a tweet that was like, who knew living in a dystopia would be so fucking boring?
I know, you know, like,
you think it would be more exciting.
Yeah.
it's just depressing rather than terrifying. I guess it's terrifying, but it's such a slow burn terror.
Like, where's the... You know, we would have, like, spiked shoulder pads and, like, cars
Dinosauric on the Fury. Fury Road.
Fury Road. Or we could go full-blown Blade Runner.
Just
one
like
or the
Tom
other.
Tom Hardy's there, and you get to make out with him a little bit. It's not bad, this dystopia, quite honestly. And Charlize Theron comes around, she makes out with you, too.
Great.
This is a pretty good day for everybody.
I mean, if you're gonna... If it's a dystopia, like, why not?
Right? Why not?
Why not?
Why not fuck in a dystopia? Just saying.
End of the world is probably, like, better.
See, I tried to do... I did a couple of sets last night, and I was trying to do clean stuff, and so now I just want to swear so hard.
So you do comedy?
I do.
Oh, okay. What's that like?
He's turning the tables on you. He's interviewing you.
It's fucked. No, it's fine.
You were saying, like, that...
I'm doing two experiments right now. One is... playing with my brain juice is what I like to call it on Twitter, because it's my way of being very open about how I deal with my mental illnesses. Is just in terms of I get medical help, right? And I talk about it, really. Mm-hmm. So,
and taking medication is good.
Big part of it. People. So I've been taking citalopram for about a year and a half now, and it's been pretty successful, but it then dropped off. Like, it wasn't cutting through the fucking rain. You know, it rained for 60 days straight.
Yeah, and it's just like, so it's super rainy and the world is a garbage fire. But like, aren't we all
There's a
depressed?
Lot of stuff
like,
going on for me, just globally, personally. My immediate circles around me were all like very, if we're talking the social determinants of health, I didn't have a lot of them at the time. So I got prescribed Wellbutrin in addition, because there are two different kinds of antidepressants. One's an SSRI, which deals with serotonin. This is an SNRI, which deals with norepinephrine.
Ooh.
So it's different brain chemicals that it affects.
So it's going to make you a lot more, like, jazzy and upbeat.
Well, that's it, because they...
Epinephrine's the up one, right?
norepinephrine. I don't think it's the same thing as, like, epinephrine. Like, no, it's not like an EpiPen kind of thing, but it does have some sort of similar activity in the brain, I think. And I definitely know that the drug is marketed by pharmaceutical reps as the happy, horny, skinny drug.
Oh, my God.
So, because most antidepressants kill your sex drive and make you gain weight, which doesn't really help very much with depression, honestly.
No kidding.
But it's better than dying. Because I definitely gained weight on citalopram. Like, my face got really browned. but I was working out and eating healthy, so it was frustrating. Mm-hmm. But that's not... I wasn't like, I'm fat, give me something harder. But she was just like, yeah, if you want to try it, we'll give it a go. And so I've been trying it, and I'm a little sweatier, a little bit jumpier, but I feel better.
That's good.
But it also, the sun came out a few days ago, and it's been out, so I don't know if it's the drugs or if it's the weather.
Right, so when you're trying to do, like, an experiment on your own mental health, it's like you can't...
Too many variables.
Yeah, you can't control at all. You'd have to, like, take it in the middle of November when, like, the rains are here and see if you could have a notable difference somehow.
Do you find that, like, if the weather is nicer, that really does really help?
Big time. Yeah. I think there's just something to do with, like, a sense of hopefulness.
Yes.
No, just true. In general.
Yeah, no,
and just, like,
I'm
you
not
look
laughing
out
to make fun.
In the environment,
relating.
And it's if you already feel bad and you look out at the world and it all looks bad, you don't leave the house, right? Like, and this makes me want to go outside and, like, get some of that vitamin D in my eyeballs and hands and stuff, like, wherever it's supposed to go into. And well, I just heard something that you got to expose part of your face and your hands to get, like, the vitamin D in the winter. So I don't know, I just take a pill for it too. But yeah, I just, it's beautiful outside today, and it hasn't been for so long, so I don't know if that's making me happy or if it's my brain goo.
Yeah,
who could say?
I guess you'll see over time.
Yeah, but like when my depression got really bad the first time back in end of 2016, I couldn't tell, like we were talking about this before the podcast, that I could not tell if I am this depressed because I started doing comedy or because it just happened to be at the same time that the world started going to shit.
Right.
Because doing comedy, you asked about it, like it fucks with your mental health because everybody who does it is insane. And I'm not kidding. Like there are maybe, there are, I think Justin, past guest Justin O'Hearn is the sanest person I've ever met that does comedy. Like he's the least mentally ill person. And he still comes on the podcast and tells stories about bottles breaking people's bums.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So that's the bar.
Yeah. The bar is pretty low. And everybody is kind of kooky bananas and it's difficult because like, it's a very vulnerable occupation. If you're telling like jokes with integrity that have to do with your own life and stuff, you're putting your own shit out there for people to judge, and it can be a lot. And people talk about really toxic things in their acts, you know. So people like, and they're not open to criticism. They're not open to redirection into something that's less harmful. So
it's hard for you as a SJW shrill bitch to like deal with this
shrill SJW biatch.
But you know, you want funny jokes. You don't just want lazy punchlines that rely on like someone's humanity being the punchline. Like you're writing something.
Are you triggered? Are you triggered?
Yeah, it's like
it's probably because I got white privilege.
And they use that as a punchline with no actual like thought or context like around it. Like you can make. I think you can make great jokes about anything, but they have to be good.
Yeah. You can't just be like, oh, I can't say fag anymore because of snowflakes. That's not a joke. So you're such a snowflake. I'm like all of us are different, and when we get together, we can make a huge fucking mess.
That sounds pretty good.
It's fascinating that you bring up, like, the people that do say, you know, you're a snowflake, are you triggered, are often... very sensitive themselves.
Especially sensitive to being criticized for sensitive. Criticizing the sensitive.
And it's an interesting culture. It's more interesting just to watch those people and kind of their psychology around issues and how... I don't know, just... And even looking at Trump and how they... See him
I love
how
everyone's so hesitant to even speak.
Because I'm so sick of it.
It tastes like poison and ashes in my mouth.
It's just how they look at him as the alpha male defender of Christian civilization.
Oh God, it makes me want to spoon George W. Bush. He's not a good guy. It's just by comparison.
Oh, sorry. God.
I don't know. It's always struck me that they're a little too repressed. That group, very repressed themselves, and if they would just
stop being such little snowflakes.
Well, stop being such little snowflakes, and maybe just embrace a little bit of their femininity. Yeah. They would
just any kind of emotion.
Don't run from
all.
Your emotions, own fear,
because I think that's all what they secretly really want to do.
To have the freedom to be the person that you want is a beautiful thing, and I wish more people were aware of it when they bite back against it. Uh-huh. They're like, why the fuck are you doing that, you fucking weirdo? I'm like, well, what would you do if you had the freedom to do whatever you wanted? It wouldn't be to be, like, the archetypal beer commercial dude, right? Yeah. Like, wouldn't you want to be something more than that? Uh-huh. Don't you want to contain multitudes? Don't you?
That's very profound.
That's yeah, that's interesting. Do they? Or is it, it's just repressed, yeah.
It's so easy to not.
Yeah, and there's like, a lot of, I think, like, saying jealousy is, like, too simplified, but where it's like, oh, look at you just doing all that. Well, I'm playing by the rules. How come you're not playing by the rules? I'm playing by the rules, and I had to sacrifice so much and give up so much to play by these rules that my culture told me I have to play by. And you're just not even doing it. Yeah. Fuck you, you know? Like, I think that there's a lot of that kind of resentment. But I'm watching the new Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Oh my God, I'm already done it.
I know, I've already done it too. It's so good. It's so good.
You this week, you're like, figure skating, Queer Eye.
Yeah. I mean, I'm living my best life.
Yes, absolutely.
But the show really deals with a lot of toxic masculinity stuff. And so that's been on my mind as well. Where, like, yeah, this guy, like, and it's just about, like, you know, you deserve love and care, and you can give that love and care to yourself, and you don't need, you know, a partner to do that for you, or, like, I don't know, you don't have to just kind of let yourself be stuck in your routine. I'm thinking of the first guy where he was just like this old redneck guy. And he just, like, he drank a, you know, margarita every day at his, like, favorite restaurant. He had his chair that his, like, ass groove was in. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, you actually, and his whole family is like, we love you. You're a really sweet guy. You've got a great heart. Like, just let other people see that.
Yeah.
And, like, take 3 minutes of your day to, like, care for yourself a little bit. Like, he was only 57 or something, and he looked way older.
Wow.
Because he just let his beard grow super long, and he just, like, never moved around. And
did,
like,
they trim up his beard?
They did, but not that much. Like, they didn't, like, over, like, make over the guy. Like, they just kind of
tidied him up a bit.
Yeah. Yep.
So are you recommending the
show?
Oh,
it's so good.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do tonight.
Box of
then.
Tissues, man.
But it was...
The original series made me cry a lot.
Oh, I remember watching the original series as a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother and I watched it. It was very...
Yeah.
Carson Kressley.
I think Carson. Like, I think Carson and that cast were probably, like, the first gay people I remember probably ever seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was aware of.
They're really efficient. They work together well.
Yeah.
What a great thing to see for the first time.
But it was. Yeah. And it probably is like that for a lot of young men now, mm-hmm. today. And having those examples and seeing that is, I thought for me it was really good. You know, mm-hmm. I still think of that. And it's not as if, some of them are expressed their, I don't know what this, how to say it or what the, they express stuff like in the kind of caricature idea of a gay man who's mm-hmm. very, just fabulous.
Sure.
And some of them are, you would look at, and they aren't necessarily, you would think
mm-hmm,
of as,
yeah.
oh, they're the stereotypical gay person
oh, yeah.
at all.
Mm-hmm. There was a really good arc in one of the newer episodes where they go through that because they help a guy come out in one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. And, oh, God, I just sobbed forever. It was so good. But they
I can't
go,
wait to watch this.
They go through and they're just like, you know, like for one guy, he's like, it wasn't a choice. I couldn't hide it because I'm so, like,
I'm so
just,
oh,
like,
yeah.
out
he was,
there,
he was,
you know?
The moment he was born, he was
yeah, but then one of the guys was like, yeah, I always present myself, like, as very, you know, kind of stereotypically masculine. And my dad said, like, thank you for being so discreet, and that made me mad enough to, like, be more than that, you know? Like,
thank you for being so discreet.
Yeah,
thank you for being discreet. Don't show anything about you to anyone you meet.
Yeah. But it was, like, a good thing where it's, like, the guy was really concerned. Like, I don't want to come out. I don't want to feel, like, stereotypically gay. I don't want to be able to be pegged right off the bat. And I was like...
Gay guys aren't getting pegged that often.
That's true. But, like, there was a good thing. I remember, like, when one of my friends came out when he was younger, and we were, I think, just out of high school. It was that same thing where sometimes you overshoot the mark a little bit because you're like, okay, well, now I'm out and free and I can do whatever I want. And you go, like, way to the extreme, and then you settle back into kind of where you want to be once you, like, find out about yourself some more. So it was a really good episode. But it just, like, the whole series just made me think, yeah, a lot about masculinity and a lot about, like, taking care of yourself as seen as, like, a not masculine thing to do, which
mm-hmm.
I think is
oh,
bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you feel.
Oh,
about
oh,
you're
like,
a real man. You just let the world wear you down.
But, like, how sad.
It is very,
it's because you're having feelings.
The idea of masculinity can be, there's always been to me, like, just my feelings of it is, there's, you should embrace the femininity and the masculinity, because if it is just one, because there are these mm-hmm. stereotypical ideas of masculinity that are good, you know, this idea of, oh, care for your family,
yeah.
be a leader, be strong,
yeah,
like these are good, these are good, be confident, like these are good lessons to teach any person, whether
mm-hmm.
they're man, woman, or identify else as something else, like
mm-hmm.
it doesn't, you should pass these on,
mm-hmm.
but when it's just masculinity, when it's just, don't embrace your feelings, don't talk about them, you're left very stunted.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, definitely.
You need the balance. There needs to be some kind of, like, elements of everything in there.
Watching my dad change in the last 10 years has been a really amazing thing. Watching him go from somebody who was never, like, a toxically masculine person, but who was very much embedded in corporate culture. Like, I think my dad was always more of, like, a making deals and shaking hands and charming his way through things rather than, like, being a bull and then
mm-hmm.
and just crashing through stuff. But, like, now he's this most sensitive person I know, pretty much, which is just like he retired and didn't have to do that anymore. And instead of like sticking with a done pattern, he's just like, I'm just going to see like how else I can be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting.
I like that.
He's way more fun.
He's really embraced, like, I'm not done learning. I just want to keep learning about the world and being curious and, like...
Stay curious. You gotta stay curious.
Yeah.
That's so important, though.
It is, because people get in a routine. They get in a routine, and... Like we talked about with that guy in that first episode, with men, I'm sure women too. You get in a routine, you're stuck in who you are, you don't explore more, learn new things, and eventually it becomes this ticking time bomb that explodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Denying
yourself for a long time.
We're all born to like express ourselves, I think. Like it just needs to happen because it's going to come out one way or the other.
I'd say express yourself and make yourself uncomfortable too.
Yeah.
Like and that's something I've struggled with a long time is like trying to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to develop as a person and learn.
Like, can you think of some times?
Even if it's just being someone that grew up very socially anxious.
Ooh.
Very, very anxious, I think.
That strikes me as funny because I know you through circles that are very, like, open and, like, I don't know, you don't strike me as a socially anxious person at all.
Oh, definitely. And still do.
Yeah.
Not to the extent, but it's through, like, putting yourself in those uncomfortable situations and developing as a person that you could get to the point you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say through high school, even, I probably missed a lot of opportunities because I was too anxious. You don't want to look stupid. I was a little more introverted, too.
Okay.
And, you know, you don't want to go to the parties or make new friends. Mm-hmm. And so from high school, you know, so I've got my close-knit friends, but that's about it, where... You know, now I've kind of out of that and more as an adult and capable of putting myself in those situations, have made many more new friends and acquaintances and probably enjoy life a lot more than I did back then.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Being open to all those things is really important, I think.
Did you ever have stuff when you were growing up that, like, role models and influencers that tried to, like, constrain you or was generally, like, the most, like, the adults in your life were supportive of just, like, yeah, be who you are and... do what you want to, or was there more, like, strict boundaries? I don't know. I don't really know how to ask that question. But...
No, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I came from a family that was very, I think might biologically be incapable of producing any women, so it's pretty much all men.
There's some chromosome thing.
It's all men. We're all named Matthew, Marco, Mike, Michael. That's all of our names. And
it's very confusing.
It gets very confusing. And it was certainly pushed to be sports. You know, I grew up thinking adult men. Adult men.
Dad, am I sports enough?
I thought as a child that adult men only watched sports, which was very depressing to me because I thought, oh man, you know, there's these shows I like watching and things I like doing.
Oh, but you're gonna have to give that up when you turn 19.
I'm gonna have to give that up. Was what I actually thought. I thought that. I really thought that.
That's so funny.
So it was a bit of a push to kind of be a certain person. But I certainly found my own way as time went on. You know?
Was there some, like, can you think of, like, a crux point in your life where you're just, did you make a conscious choice to move away from that, or did it just kind of happen because of circumstances, or?
I don't know. Maybe a gradual. Yeah. I don't think there was necessarily one point where it all just suddenly changed.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, I'm more interested in this, I'm going to follow.
But I did enjoy, I played sports,
yeah.
I played hockey, I enjoyed it, and sometimes I still think, like, that was fun. Playing sports is fun,
it's
right?
Sports.
Like,
sport! We're down with team sports, we're down with fitness and exercise and all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, it feels good, it can be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do things you like.
But it was definitely pushed to...
Mm-hmm.
I just, for some reason, you were talking, the word that you said was constraining, and then it just made me think of a fucking Mountain Goat song that I'm obsessed with, that just has a line, the song is called The Best Ever Death Metal Band Out of Denton, which is too long for a song title. Get it together, John Darnielle. But the song, there's a line in the song that's, if you punish a person for dreaming their dreams, don't expect them to thank or forgive you.
Wow.
Mm.
Which is a really great line, I think, like anybody who, it just, you know what makes me think of is fucking Bill and Ted.
Okay.
Because it's like, that's what basically the song is about, is the best ever death metal band out of Denton, couple of guys who've been friends since grade school, Cyrus and Jeff. And that's their thing, is they want to be a band or whatever, and one of them gets sent away to military school or whatever. So it's pretty much like the Bill and Ted thing without time travel and George Carlin. Less of that. And you know, Ted gets threatened to be sent to military school, mm-hmm. and because his father doesn't believe in his dreams. And it's like, you'll thank me later. Like, no, he won't. He's not gonna. Don't get in people's way. Just, like, let them do it and fail on their own if you don't think they're going to do a good job. You just, like, if you're their family, you have to support them, even if it's stupid. Especially if they're a young kid. Like, my God. Yeah. It's just, then they won't ever dream anything again. They'll think, like, oh, well, no one's going to ever support me no matter what it is. But then again, there are people who dream way too much and need to be.
But then that's why you let them kind of fail spectacularly on their own and learn lessons and get themselves in uncomfortable situations to then learn and grow and, like, figure out where they would. Mm-hmm.
Being uncomfortable won't kill you, it turns out.
No.
It really feels like it's going to.
It feels like it is. And I think that was the lesson.
Yeah,
I definitely had to learn
that it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've been doing that with work, like doing sort of like conflict management and stuff like that is hard, and interpersonally it's really hard. But I'm discovering that compassionate and kind confrontation can be the best solution to a lot of problems. But you have to put yourself in a situation. You have to make yourself available to be like shit talked or uncomfortable. Like, you have to be willing to hear criticism and all the stuff that you don't want to hear. It's hard. Guys, it's really hard.
It is.
How did you do it?
Especially when it catches you off guard, then it's
you don't have that. You don't expect it coming.
If it's kind of like you're going to sit down and expect it, you can kind of, I can, you know, stiffen myself up. And,
that's why I think it's good to, like, always take the lead on those kinds of things where it's like, okay, I'm going to bring up this uncomfortable topic and then I know that I'm prepared to deal with this.
Yes.
I think that's probably why, like, we talk about me having, like, good boundaries and good assertiveness in certain situations. And I think it probably is a control thing, you know, where it's like, it's on my terms. I'm starting this conversation now. And it could go in any direction. I'm open to that. But I'm not going to just sit here and then let it come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
get in front of it. Yeah.
Yeah, being startled by something that's really bad is the worst.
It can throw your day off, or you're just, you dwell on that. Oh, yeah.
It's... Oh, God, the worst. I have the feeling that we're all fairly sensitive people, too. Which is like, I don't mean, like, big babies. I just mean, like, we feel things.
Yeah.
Like environmental stuff impacts us.
Yeah.
Which it does to everybody to varying degrees, but I'm very sensitive to my environment, for sure. And I don't like the tension of the discomfort, like the not knowing what's going to happen feels really bad.
Oof. Yeah, I know that.
I want to be certain about what's about to happen, and that's not possible.
Oh, like if someone says, we need to talk, and then it's like, tell me what the topic's about.
Like,
first.
Why don't you just...
Don't just say what the topic, we need to talk about this. And then
so
we're
going to talk in, what, 8 hours? Okay, I'm going to be shitting for the next 7 hours and 59 minutes. Please bring me a bottle of water.
And then it ends up being just absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Some mundane thing that didn't even need a discussion.
I've never said, can we talk about this because I'm so anxious. I would be like, hey, later tonight, if you have time, can we talk about X or whatever?
Perfect.
I do that too. Yeah. I will say, I need to talk to you about this one. Because, it makes me anxious as well.
Or if it's something good, like, I need to talk to you. It's about something good, but I don't want to tell you what it is yet, but it's good.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, okay.
That's fun.
That's
cute.
That'll just get everybody excited. But yeah, I fucking can't stand that. And people who don't understand that syntax in messages can fuck you up. Mm. Like if somebody replies with K with a period, they hate you. They fucking hate you. Or if it's just K, it's bad. It's so bad. You have to like assume everybody's insane when you message them and just give them all the information that they need.
I guess I just try to like always... have like people have the best intentions. Like it just, I never assume ill intent if I can help it.
Mm.
It's like, you know what
kind of life have you lived?
Yeah,
pretty good actually. Sorry.
Thanks, Joe.
My mom's good. Yeah, definitely instilled that where it's like everyone's doing their best, and so like just don't assume that somebody's out to like get you or sabotage you or be mean to you. Like if it comes off as weird, probably it's something to do with them. That was like a really early lesson that I learned as a kid. It's like very compassionate. She's a nurse, so like they're probably just having a really bad day and that's why they're taking it out on you or whatever. And but then if it's like if it's something that I did or you know, then be open to hearing that and change your behavior because you don't want to make somebody feel bad by accident. So it's not a way to like get away from responsibility to always be like, oh, it's just their problem, you know, because that's if you take that to its like extreme, it could actually be super like, I'm disconnected from all humanity. You know, it's like, oh, it's just their problem. I'm fine. I didn't do anything wrong. It's just their problem that they don't like my abrasive whatever.
I like your abrasive whatever.
Well, so your mom's nurse. My mom's a nurse. Okay. Is a nurse, yeah. Too. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
No, of course she hasn't retired yet because you're 12.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it.
I just love being fake mean.
But I think there's something about that, like having a parent that's in a caring profession, like can shed some.
Yes, yeah. I definitely inherited some of that. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
Like, this football that I'm contractually obligated to watch is very distressing to me. They're getting a lot of head injuries. I wish someone would do something. I wish I didn't have to watch this. Just like in one of those Clockwork Orange things. Yeah. Just like, just football. What would be the worst sport for you to be hooked up to be forced to watch? Worst? What would you be the most mad about?
Probably baseball.
Really?
Because I could never hit the ball.
Okay. And so you'd be thinking about it the whole time?
Oh, just like, I'm bad at this.
Deeply, deeply traumatic experiences there. Yeah.
I think cricket would be the worst one.
Because you wouldn't understand what was happening.
Not a fucking clue.
Oh, that's true, too. Wouldn't understand what's happening.
And they last, like, 12 hours.
Yeah.
But everyone's so cute in their crisp little white uniforms.
Or golf, I guess. Golf is probably the one
I was going to go stereotypical and say golf, but I actually like watching golf.
I like watching golf if I'm really hungover. It's like ASMR, kind of. It's like, really soothing. It's a little bit soothing. Like, oh, that's in the trees. That'll be a tough one to get out.
Yeah. I like playing golf. But I don't ever do it because it's really expensive. Oh,
why don't you just let my parents adopt you then? Because they'll like you better than me for one.
I like drinking wine and playing golf. I'm basically your parents. So that's probably why you like me so much.
My mom and dad like you so much for sure. I think my dad likes you so much because you remind him of Brenta.
That's weird transference, and I don't know how comfortable I feel about that.
I think he just likes sassy broads.
He likes me for me.
Yes.
That's all.
Not for any other weird, sick reason.
I was going to launch into that fucking Tal Bachman song.
She likes me for me. Because I sing like Pavarotti. That one?
Yes.
Is that Tal Bachman?
I don't know.
See, then he does two really annoying songs. Do you remember She's So High?
She's So High.
She's so high.
Oh, yeah. That's,
high above me.
Yeah.
I think She Likes Me For Me is not Tal Bachman. It's probably somebody else.
I'm curious now who did it. It's like that late 90s, early 2000s, that good stuff we were talking about right at the top.
Yeah.
She Likes Me For Me.
It's, man, speaking of Y2K, like, it really, the resurgence of, like, the boy band, like, harmonizing thing really came about
the
in
song
that era.
It's called Hey Leonardo.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's by Blessed Union of Souls.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A band I've never heard before. I'd never, ever heard of before.
Is there a boy band recession? There's One Direction.
No. In like, Y2K times, so, like, NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and all that. And I'm, like, I'm thinking, when was that popular, the last? Like, I'm thinking of, like, the Temptations and the Four Tops and all that kind of, like, doo-wop stuff.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But then
she likes me for me, not because I hang with Leonardo or that guy who played in Fargo. I think his name is Steve. Don't do Steve Buscemi like this. She likes me for me. Not because I'm tough like Dirty Harry. Make her laugh just like Jim Carrey, unlike the cable guy. They came for the cable guy in this song. That's two of its time.
There's so many references in that song. It's quite extra. I don't know.
That is like the most 1997 song ever, pretty much. Wait, when did Fargo come out? Doesn't matter. Not important.
I think around that time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If it's referenced in the song, then it came out before then.
Mm. How was your week, Matt?
It's all right.
Thank you for keeping us on track.
Incredibly smooth transition.
I think we're supposed to finish our week.
it goes throughout the whole
episode. My week, what did I do this week? Yeah, it was all right.
You picked up several tall boys of beer from
I picked up several
various
tall boys
and sundry
of beer, yeah.
places.
Actually, I just went to one liquor store. They were all
I was going to ask, you didn't go to like every single brewery and get that.
Oh, did you go to, you went to Hop?
Where did I go to?
No, Jack's.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Same company probably as the...
Yeah, they own a few. Yeah.
You went to Jack's?
I just got...
You went to Jack's.
Got some... I wanted the local stuff to represent. Got to rep my region here.
From the hood.
Yeah.
Night Sky Mocha Stout from Mariner Brewing, brewed in Coquitlam, BC.
How was that one?
It was delicious.
Really? I've never been to a mocha beer
Oh.
kind of guy.
I made a mistake. That's why I'm like... This is it's a imperial stout. It's 9%.
You're like, I'm feeling sluggish.
That's why I'm sweating. This is not good.
This one's good. This is under 5, so it's good. Yeah, low IBUs.
Yeah, I also had 4%.
Yeah, the
I
bitter
made a bad choice.
The bitterness in this is definitely the coffee. It's less of the hops.
Oh my god.
I'm so sorry.
I haven't had a beer in like months.
Yeah, so. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. Makes me feel like taking more of a nap, even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I might take a nap after this just podcast.
No, you can't. You'll regret it. You'll regret it when you wake up. You'll be too groggy.
Yeah, fair enough.
You can't nap.
No, once you hit 30, you can nap again.
Oh, okay.
It's a weird thing. I literally couldn't nap until I was 31.
Oh, but I can nap. I love napping, but I wake up feeling like crap.
No, I wake up feeling mostly refreshed now, which is a totally different
thing. Do you do a short nap or a long nap?
It depends. Mm. Sometimes I nap for 2 hours and it's a bad plan.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. Because I would do, I remember when I had like early morning classes and I was up at SFU up till like 3 a.m., go to an 8 a.m. class, and then come home and sleep for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And that was not a healthy
That doesn't seem like a great circadian rhythm
no,
to establish.
That was, you'd wake up like just feeling like you have a bad hangover. It's.
Yeah, I find, especially when I'm traveling, I take a lot of naps, which, so I'm going to England in a couple of weeks, and I know I'm going to be napping there, because I'm going to be walking all over the damn place and drinking so much alcohol. And that's what I did in New York, and when I went to Europe last time, is that we would get back after being out most of the day, around 4 or 5 or something like that, and before dinner, I would just crash out for, like, an hour. Just, like, I would try to fight it. I'd be like, no, 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 and then book on face and out, just fucking out. Mm-hmm. That's what you get for walking like 8 or 9 miles a day.
It's nice though. Being on vacation is lovely. You just walk everywhere and then you do things on your own.
And you lie
schedule.
Down and sleep if you feel like it.
Mm-hmm. You're not constrained by this goddamn 9-to-5 grind, am I right?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Capitalism is a prison.
It is. I was thinking, so this week I went and saw a Sardinian guitarist, which is really lovely.
Okay.
His name is Paolo Angeli, and he's lovely. He dresses like a little pirate. He wears a stripy shirt and a one earring, and he's got beautiful silver hair that, like, cascades over his face.
Ooh, okay. He sounds hot.
He's so hot. Mm-hmm. And so he plays this giant Sardinian guitar that he's modded out with, like, a cello thing on top as well, and, like, a bunch of, like, other strings that resonate, and you can play them with, like, a little fan that's on the inside
of
the guitar.
Was that the picture you posted on Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. He's amazing.
I'm trying to imagine this Frankenstein guitars.
I will show you a picture. It's incredible. There's a whole, like, NPR Tiny Desk concert with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's so good. And he sings, like, in beautiful Sardinian, like, folk songs and stuff like that, and then also does all these cool improvisations. Anyway, it reminded me, I really was drawn to him because I went to Sardinia for, like, a week a couple years ago. And, Katie, what you were saying about, like, napping on your own schedule, like, that's pretty much all I did. I was in, like, one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I just, like, slept most of the time because I was just on vacation. So I would go, like, walk around the walls of the
city. Holy
shit. What's that?
He's so hot. Oh my god, in the older picture, he's got this mop of black curly hair.
Mm-hmm. Now it's all silver and it's even better.
Yeah, that'll do. That's fine with me.
Yeah, he's wonderful. But yeah, I remember, like,
Paul Thomas Anderson, or Paul, no, fucking Wes Anderson character.
Aha, yes, indeed. But yeah, just would, like, walk to the beach, sit on the beach, nap on the beach.
That does sound nice.
Like, and I just slept all the time. And, like, Ed, who I went with, my partner, like, was up, you know, 6 in the morning, walking, exploring all this stuff. He's like, what are you even doing on vacation? But we just stayed in the same city for a week. He explored everything. I just mostly napped, but I'm like, this is my kind of vacation.
I like that you guys can operate on your own vacation, like, wavelength.
Yeah, we didn't
while you're
have
together.
To do stuff together all the time.
That's nice. No, I went to Seattle for a bit in the summer. That was my vacation.
You went by yourself?
Yeah. No, I was with my girlfriend. But she likes to go exploring a lot.
Okay.
And I would be like, I'm tired, I'm ready to go lie down.
Just kind of want to stick around
a
bit.
To sleep. Let me sit down.
I really like Seattle. It's hard for me to not do stuff there because there's so much good food and stuff to see.
Awesome.
It's
yeah.
really fun.
Yeah, all I want to do in Seattle is just eat. Just, like, go to, like, every single place.
It was so awesome.
One of my favorite things I ate when I was in Portland, I did the Queer Comedy Festival in Portland last year, which was really fucking fun. Like, one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do. And before my first set, I went to this, like, a dumpling restaurant, and I think Chinese dumplings when I think of dumplings, but it was Russian dumplings.
Oh, yes.
And I got these little, like, piroshki, almost, like, little dumplings. They're not quite pierogies, but they're basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. Smaller, a little bit more tender. And it was floating in this, like, chicken broth, apple cider broth. And it had dill and, like, sour cream. And it sounds so weird.
It sounds amazing.
Oh, God, it was good. It was so good.
I'm going to go to Portland in a couple weeks. Please send me that restaurant recommendation.
That was in Seattle.
Fuck you.
Well, there might be one in Portland.
Well, if you're driving, just stop by.
I'm not. I'm taking the train. I won't have time to stop in Seattle.
I have plenty of recommendations for Portland as well. Of course I do. Except that the restaurants only last 2 years there and then they go tits up. But go to Porqueno if you like tacos.
Yes, I do. Very much. Porqueno. I pretty much only eat Mexican food in Portland. That's
that like... is just, that is, I almost said that is Mexican. That is Spanish for why not. Mm-hmm. Por qué no? Mm-hmm. Why the fuck not?
I wanted to share one thing about the Sardinian guitarist, though.
Sexy, sexy Paolo.
It was at this, like, tiny little studio, the annex off of the Orpheum Theater. Beautiful room, like, floor-to-ceiling diffusers like this we've got in our studio here. So it was just, like, this gorgeous whatever. We sat in the very front row because my date insisted that we sit in the very front row. And he proceeded to then fall asleep in the very front row of this concert.
Who is this?
Well, Ed.
Oh!
I didn't want to throw him under the bus. But
then, yeah. He fell asleep?
Yeah. Because it's, like, very ambient, like, beautiful music.
It's relaxed,
but
yeah.
He insisted. He's like, oh, we need to sit up right in the front so that we can see all the cool gizmos on his whatever guitar thing. And then, conk. So, he did not snore, though, so that was good.
That is a relief. I started writing down something that you said, and then I forgot what it was. You said this gorgeous something. I can't remember what.
Room?
I don't know.
With all the diffusers?
I don't remember what it was. It just sounded meaningful.
Yeah, I was just talking
this
about
gorgeous whatever. I think you said this gorgeous whatever.
You just said gorgeous Paolo.
Oh, okay.
Said, yes.
Sure.
I think it was this gorgeous whatever, which I really like as like an album title.
Ooh, I like it. That'll be my... I'm trying to make a record with our friend Noel, and that could be the...
Ooh! There's, like, 10% of me is jealous. The other 90% is just, like, do it.
Yeah,
do
she's got up. This, like, deep, like, gravelly, husky voice. And I think we could do really good, like, folk songs together if we write them in, like, nice layery harmonies and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I want our band name to be Root and Dew.
Root and Dew.
Root and Dew. This it. Gorgeous whatever. Done. Okay. This gorgeous
that
whatever.
Is a good album name.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's
I love it. I passed out for a few minutes on Noelle's couch. She lives in Nanaimo after drinking like half of a box of Chabertin wine.
Half of a box?
I had a lot.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You're like, it was more than half. And we were also cross-faded. But I was like, just like sort of happily passing out on the couch. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so drunk. It was like, I'm tired. And they were playing.
We had a fireplace like going.
So it was
like,
nice and warm.
Yeah.
And
so like luxurious.
And coming down a bit.
Yeah.
And
they were playing Robin's. Dancing on my own, like acoustically. It sounded so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was like one of my happiest little winter memories.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's another way to combat seasonal depression is just like go hang out by a roaring fireplace, honestly.
Yeah. We have a fake fireplace in my apartment and I use it a lot.
I don't
we're not as good as the real,
that,
but.
Like, crappy middle ground between the nice like winter with the fireplace mm-hmm. and spring coming. I'm so ready for spring and summer.
I feel like it's coming hard.
Yes, I'm.
I didn't mean it rude.
Hey, spring is all about just psh, everywhere.
Spring's all about coming, guys.
Where it just rains, though, and it's gray. But I hate snow anyways, especially when you gotta drive.
Yes, ugh. And it didn't snow this year, really, which is great.
Yes. Especially for you who has two sidewalks to shovel.
Yeah, just don't do it. It's very
people
bad.
Just, old people just fall down and you laugh at them.
This year, it did snow a bit and we did shovel it right away and put down salt, so it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, man, we were very negligent last year. And yes, an old lady did slip and fall. It was fair.
And she died. And that woman's name was...
Margaret Atwood.
It was Margaret Atwood.
She's dead now. We don't have to talk about her anymore.
I was going to say Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Who is alive.
Who
yes.
is alive and yeah. still on the Supreme Court.
She is,
thank
yes.
Christ.
Oh, but she still wants to retire, though, doesn't she?
So
sure,
old.
I bet she does. And she's just like, but I can't because of
you can't.
Gestures vaguely at
yes.
everything.
Like, I have to hang on for another 2 years.
It's two more.
I'm so tired.
Oh. Yeah, I just, like, I have the eternal optimism where I'm just like, the crocuses are coming up, it's officially spring, and then I'm just going to be really disappointed in, like, a week when it gets gross again.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Life's a roller coaster.
Well, you get excited with spring and something. Oh, I have all these plans I want to do and things. Mm-hmm. And
our May is usually pretty perfect here, uh-huh. yeah. I think. And then June sucks. And then July and August are always hot as balls. So uh-huh. I think it'll be okay. It's amazing how much I don't believe that spring is coming again. And yet all throughout the summer, I'm like, oh God, winter's going to be back and I'm going to be so sad. And then in the winter, I'm like, this is literally never going to end. It will always feel exactly like this.
That does sound like clinical depression. Yeah.
Yes, I when I got the chart the first time I got diagnosed, she was like, "Oh Lord!" When she looked at it, she's like, "Oh, you sad." I have a really cheeky doctor. She's the best.
That's really funny. Did you have to like keep a log of like mood tracker kind of thing? Or
no, because like... she was just like, "It's pretty clear to me that you have it." And then this time, she's the one who said "happy, horny, skinny" drug. She's like, "That's what the gross ass reps always say to me."
Funny.
She's like, but it does tend to do that when you take it with an antidepressant, because it's the one antidepressant that doesn't, like, make you gain weight or not have orgasms, which is a real bummer.
Yeah, those things are very important for mental health in general.
It's very true. So. Yeah, I got energy.
Energy.
Fucking energy.
Oh my God, you're scary.
It's because I'm the only one who's lit naturally in this room right now. You guys are dark-faced, and I'm just like, ah!
I like how our podcast goes backwards and we end with small talk about the weather, which is fucking hilarious.
We like leapt into the complexness of masculinity right off the bat.
Yeah, we did, which was a fun topic to discuss. You know,
it was like the cool down period after like you exercise and just like kind of winding it down. We are over an hour, which is pretty amazing for us. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about before?
I was looking at myself in my selfie camera because I was like, I really am well lit in here.
Oh my God, you can take some pictures after we're done.
Anything I need to promo?
Or just talk about anything?
What's the light? Whenever you guys want to discuss.
That's what you're here to talk about.
I'm just here to talk.
I'm having fun. You're a fun guest.
Yeah, we could keep talking.
Chris was like, I don't know what the fuck we're going to talk about.
I did not say that.
Well, okay.
She intimated.
I could change the topic if you want. Is that what you...
No, it's just you're a great talker. It's awesome.
I could ask because, you know, when we talked about, here's what I'm curious, is in my, you know, cis white male perspective, you talked about, I'm on a podcast with two genderqueer women. No, or is that what you said? No, just queer. No, sorry, queer, not genderqueer.
Well, I mean, maybe. Queer. Like, I haven't decided yet.
You've got a soupçon of the butch in there.
What does that, like, what is that, how does that identify, like, what does that mean? Necessarily.
I like to fuck everybody.
Yeah, basically.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I don't have a gender preference at all. Yeah. Like, when it comes to partners.
But then how does that differ, differs from, like, just if you're bisexual?
It is bi.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I identify as bi.
It just identifies as
but queer is just sort of a more broad spectrum word that I think encompasses the fact that I'm a little bit genderqueer, like, because you said I have a soupçon butch, and I look down, I'm like, it's more than a fucking soupçon today.
That's a bit of a tablespoon.
I do have makeup on, but yeah, I'm wearing a hat and athletic pants and a men's tank top and a giant oversized shirt that has a grease spot on it. So
it's like you worked on cars, except your hands are so tender.
Nice. I got like a really good line of calluses
from
lifting. But yeah, no, I am a delicate flower otherwise. But yeah, no, I think like saying that I'm queer is just enough to say, this is gonna sound kind of mean, but it's like that I don't cater my life to straight cis men, because I like straight cis men. I've dated lots of them. I'm very attracted to them, but a lot of my early life, like up until probably 25 even, was just like trying to make myself presentable and attractive to men, because that's what you do when you're a woman. And it's only since then that I've kind of stopped doing that, and I don't get any male attention now, and sometimes that makes me sad, but also I'm free. Thank God. I'm free. So that, like, for me, that's an important thing, is to be able to sort of express myself in a way that is like either really like aggressively made up in femme or just like a casual dirtbag boy. When it comes to gender, like I'm into all kinds of people, all kinds. Like, if I look at the man I'm most attracted to in the world right now is a wrestler named Joey Ryan, who is the most masculine, greasy, hairy motherfucker I've ever seen. And when it comes to women, I don't know, like Lupita Nyong'o or something like that. Like, who just like makes me drop everything? Evan Rachel Wood. Like, there's so many kinds of people that I'm attracted to. So.
Yeah, you just want to drop all of your packages and hold the door for them instead, because you're a gentleman.
I am a gentleman for sure. It's everybody. If they smell good, then we're good. Let's go. That's all it takes.
Yeah. I like saying I'm queer because I don't like, I think we've talked about this before, I don't really like bi as a thing, but that's basically what the thing is.
Mm.
And so I like people trying to redefine bisexual as, like, my gender and other genders, and that's the binary, as opposed to, like, men and women, because I'm like, anyone that falls in between that is great as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just aggressively attracted to everybody, basically. Now I
know. Cool. Mm-hmm. What boy do you think is the hottest?
Oh, my goodness.
Cuomo from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. He's my favorite.
Cuomo?
The hair?
Yeah. Oh, the, okay. The, yeah. The culture guy.
Yes.
No, he's good. Okay, yeah. They're all good looking guys. Anthony's a very good looking guy. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I'll tell you that. He's, you know, if I could just have one of their looks,
yes.
I'd probably choose
that
him.
That makes a lot of yes. sense. You already remind me of, Anthony has, like, very... like crisp style.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to watching this now because I don't have anything to do this evening. I'm going to dye my hair and watch Queer Eye.
Yes!
No, but that's interesting. I mean, you always say, like, because it's always, it's just an interesting topic again because, like, just oftentimes, again, if a man was to say, like, and I identify as, like, a straight white male, yeah. I don't have a sexual attraction to men, but I guess he can be like, oh, that guy's handsome, he's good looking. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that I'm like,
yeah, you've got an aesthetic sensibility, and you don't do that thing that dudes do where they're like, ew, I wouldn't even be able to tell. It's like, are you serious? Yeah. Like,
you know what a good looking person is.
Yeah, you know who's good looking.
And I've always just found that absurd. And just a little absurd. Yeah. Just a little.
It's extremely absurd.
It's so weird.
Yeah. But yeah, I only bring that up. I just love to turn it on someone and just, like, make them feel very disarmed about something because it's very funny to me. Yeah. And also because I've talked about this on the podcast with Chris before, and it's that she gets it too a little bit. Like, people love to tell us both secrets, and men, like my quote-unquote straight male friends, always want to tell me the men they find attractive, if they've kissed men before, if they've, like, been attracted to trans women before. Like, they all want to confess it to me like I'm some kind of, like, sexy gender priest. And they don't want me to absolve them. They want me to be like, that's good. I'm really proud of you for, like, coming out of your comfort zone like that. Like, you're good. You're good. You can have a rainbow button. You're a good boy.
That is so funny. You can give them the ally card.
but that is, like, I think men do that where they can't confide their secrets to other men. So when they're around a woman, it's like, oh my God, I just need to let
loose. That's incredibly insightful.
I just need to, like, I've been piling up my secrets here. I need to just let loose. Like, it's...
And then they'll let loose, and then it's all done. And then she's like, well, this has been going on for me. Oh, that sucks. I'm tired. I'll talk to you later. It's a lot of friendships that I had earlier in life.
Yeah.
But that's so observant for a man to notice that. That's just, like, so impressive. Good job.
It is, yes. I'm very woke. You know?
You're very, very woke, babe. Just like,
very woke.
Just like the Prime
Minister. Just like our Prime Minister.
We brought it all the way back.
That is a good...
High five. Very good. That was fantastic. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
so
for having me. This was fantastic.
A really zesty, fun episode. I loved it.
Well, thank you.
Great.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm a sexy gender priest.
Okay, so now is there anything that you want to plug? This is going to come out.
I'm just like, if you're in the UK, just watch for my big dumb head running around all the time. Because if you know me from this, then I want to say hi, probably.
Do we have any listeners in the UK besides your friends?
No, I don't even think they listen.
Yeah, neither does our friend in Scotland. So you're
neither does anybody who knows us, because they don't want any more of us than they already have to have in their lives. Yeah, no, I don't really have anything to promo other than there's always another Big Rock show coming up, and the one that's in March is actually very soon after I get home, so it's March 18th.
Nice.
Yeah, at Big Rock Urban.
Who's going to be on that?
Jane Stanton is headlining, and Gavin Clarkson will be hosting.
Nice. Yes, very, very good. Yes. I have nothing to promo, obviously. I'm going to go see a whole bunch of shows at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, which is so good. Beth Stelling and Jim Norton and Kyle Kinane and Maria Bamford.
Oh, you are going to Jim Norton.
I am going to Jim Norton.
At the Vogue. That's hilarious.
I've given myself an out, so I'm going to go see Jim Norton and then Kyle Kinane in the same night. So I have to, like, leave immediately and then go to the next show so that I'm not tempted to stick around and, like, try to meet Jim Norton and flirt with him.
Oh, God. That's really smart. He's so gross and you shouldn't.
He would really like me.
Yes, he would. Because you're also gross. And the best.
A little bit of a dirtbag, and that's okay.
Yep.
Do you have anything that you want to promo in March?
I don't, no. Yeah. I'm.
You used to be in a band.
It used to be in a band, but there's no shows coming up here. Ooh. But
what's the band called?
What was the band? Oh, I can't even remember. It was a lot.
This is not something that's recent.
No, 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 no. This was 10 plus 6 years
ago. Oh, okay. Jesus. So you were a teen.
It was a teenage man. No. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're not actually 12. You are going to be 26
this year. I am actually going to be 26 this year, yes.
That's an adult age. You count now.
There we go. I'm
in. You have to be over 25 for me to talk to you. Or a child. Those are the only options. I don't talk to anybody between 12 and 25.
Don't care what they have to say. God. Just kidding. No, watch for you. In various places in the world.
You can watch me in various places, yeah.
We have not described him in any way except for nice eyebrows.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, look for those. Usually they're a mess, so that's good.
All right, cool. Well, we'll see everybody next week on the old Sea Hags podcast.